Ladies and gentlemen, get ready as we drop the gloves and take on everything from the Federal Hockey League. From weekly scores to postseason madness, here to set the ice on fire is your host, Jose Bahina.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the final episode of the Ice on Fire podcast, the only podcast dedicated to the Federal Hockey League, and we don't have a lot to talk about. The only thing we have to talk about is a few things here. Number one, the Carolina Thunderbirds have claimed the Commissioner's Cup, the whole ball of wax, after defeating the Elmira Enforcers in a four-game stretch. Carolina winning the first two in Winston-Salem, going on the road to play Elmira in the first arena in Elmira, New York. From there, the Elmira Enforcers, that's where we start our weekend recap. The Enforcers get home and do not go quietly into the dark as they take down the Thunderbirds in Game 3, 7-2. Big win for the Elmira Enforcers. I think totally shifted some of the momentum of this series, as we talked about after the game in Winston-Salem. Troy Passingham, Ahmad Mahfouz, and Brent Clark were all suspended for the Elmira Enforcers, forcing Nick Nieder to start in goal for the Enforcers, Robbie Nichols to be the man on the bench for the Enforcers as well. Like I said, no one was sure how this was going to shake out, and in true championship fashion, the Elmira Enforcers got the job done there in Game 3. Really, like I said, big momentum swing there for the Enforcers. Goals being scored by Sean Reynolds, Kyle Stevens, Stefan Timofeyov, as well as Tom Tracy, Brandon Vuk getting two, and Brendan Hussey getting a goal as well. All, like I said, to just bury the Thunderbirds 7-2 and force the Game 4 back against the wall. The Enforcers looked great. The next night was Game 4 of the Commissioner's Cup Final. Carolina and Elmira, again in Elmira, New York, in the first arena. That was a 7:05 game, and the goal scoring got off early here. Just a little under 6 minutes into the game, Bo Walker of Carolina scores first, and Elmira answers back on a power play by Kyle Stevens before another goal for the Enforcers comes up. Mitch Atkins, this is the point Elmira's leading 2-1, and we're kind of looking like, hey, Elmira really, really, like I said, not going quietly here, looking to force the Game 5 before Jan Zalak hits a goal there to tie it up, and Peter Panacek comes out on a power play to give the Carolina the lead. Like I said, no quit in Elmira. Nathan Pellegra scores, ties it back up, forces the last 5 minutes of regulation. They go into overtime, and Jan Zalak gets the game winner on a power play goal there in overtime. Just 35 seconds into the overtime period, and snuff out the Elmira Enforcers. Yes, so that is the way it went down. Like I said, first off, big congratulations to the Elmira Enforcers for everything that they accomplished in their year one in the Federal Hockey League. Like I said, you look at this team, they absolutely just looked fantastic all year long, posting the second best record in the entire league pretty much all year long. I mean, you look at it, like I said, they have 25 regulation wins, 5 overtime wins, 20 losses and 20 overtime losses, like I said, with a .569 winning point percentage this year, or winning percentage rather, yes. And like I said, a goal differential of plus 51. Only one of two teams in the Federal Hockey League this year to post a positive goal differential, the other being Carolina with 150. But yeah, I mean, this team has been phenomenal. We knew that they, like I said, all year long, it seemed like they were on a collision courts once they started playing for it to be an Elmira Carolina final. And like I said, Elmira just put everything down on the table, really. They were all in on the opportunity to force a game five. And like I said, down until the last 5 minutes and then 35 seconds of overtime, had a damn good shot to do so. Yes, so thank you to the Elmira Enforcers for the most exciting Federal Hockey League postseason I think we've had in a while, and a wild regular season. Like I said, not to forget the fact that they absolutely dominated in the attendance, too, no matter who you put against them. In the playoffs of the FHL season, they had 9,121 attendees in their three games. Like the first being the one game they hosted to sweep Watertown, and then the two here to end the Commissioner's Cup final. Like I said, that outstrips everyone. Like I said, Carolina not even getting just a hair under 8,000. So that's still an incredible turnout for a team that is brand new. Like I said, Elmira is definitely a wonderful hockey city. And how much hockey means to that town has really, really shown through all year long. Like I said, total attendance for Elmira, 94,111 in the regular season. So like I said, you combine those two numbers, you're looking at right at 103,000, over 100,000. Phenomenal numbers for this league. Like I said, glad to have Elmira here. And I think based off of everything I saw, like I said, several times we talked about how Carolina lacked a geographical rival. And, you know, I didn't think there was going to be an opportunity for one of these newer teams to be that rival, again, based off of geography. But I think Elmira has really, at least on their side, has risen to the occasion. And I would consider that to be Carolina's biggest rival now, moving forward next year into the FHL. And like I said, if they even hold half the talent they have this year, like I said, Brent Clark as a head coach, Ahmed Mafu is young Stepan Timofeyov, Gavin Yates, late pickup from Watertown, Kyle Stevens, a former Thunderbird, as well as JT Walters. Like I said, if they keep some of these guys and can get them back next year, Troy Passingham and Nick Nieder in the goal, I think Elmira is going to be a very dangerous team next year, regardless of how much expansion happens. They would definitely be something I would consider an early favorite for a FHL Commissioner's Cup of 2020. And then for the final bit, like I said, this is supposed to be pretty short today. I just don't have much to say. And then secondly, to say congratulations to the Carolina Thunderbirds again, winning the Commissioner's Cup 4-1. In four games, 3-1. Like I said, I'm that goal, overtime, Bo Walker, everything you could ask for in a championship matchup there. The Carolina Thunderbirds, like I said, they looked phenomenal all year too. That huge 24-game winning streak early on in the season. Their overall schedule or overall standings here, out of their 58 games, they won 48 of those. Six losses and nine losses total when you include the overtime, the three in overtime. Again, one coming at them at the expense of them falling on their own sword with the weird shootout pregame rule. You remember that? That was a while ago. And their lone overtime win, like I said, gives them a winning percentage of 0.856 on the winning point percentage there. And again, that gives Carolina the best record of any Federal Hockey League team ever. Like I said, last year, the Port Huron Prowlers posted 0.824 on the winning point percentage as the best possible team. And like I said, and they didn't win the cup last year. Watertown did, the second place. This means now the Federal Hockey League has diverged from the stat earlier where I told you it was 4-4 for the four first place seeds had won, four second place seeds had won. Now it leans to favor the number one seeds, 5-4 now. And like I said, but the other history that was against Carolina, yeah, all the odds for this season, if when I look back at the records, the 87% chance against the field, all that, like I said, leaned towards Carolina. But again, like I said, the history didn't support it. Port Huron falling flat after last year getting the best record in the FHL history. And the early on Brooklyn Aviators, Dayton Demons, of the early years of the FHL, like I said, all these teams unable to post a, at the time, all-time record for the FHL and win out the regular season and still win the cup. It just hadn't happened. Like I said, the history of that worked against Carolina, and they found a way to overcome that. And so, like I said, I don't know, it's kind of early to say that, you know, but the 24-game winning streak, the 8-5-6 point percentage, I mean, like I said, a goal differential of plus 150. It's hard to say now and in the moment of it being so early, but like I said, this may end up going down as being one of the greatest FHL team years in history. Like I said, we'll see how that works out, you know, later down the years. But I mean, it's definitely possible. Like I said, Carolina has looked good this year, last year falling short in the first round against the eventual cup champions, the Watertown Wolves. Like I said, last year posted a attendance high for the league, like I said, before Elmira just came in and obliterated that. But I mean, still this regular season, 86,860, second place finish in the attendance standings. Like I said, that's still almost triple the third place of Danville's 28,723. In the playoffs, Carolina with 7,918, as I mentioned, not even 8,000. But I mean, these are still phenomenal numbers. Like I said, you look at it, Carolina and Elmira are still the like number one and two in the league for more than one reason. Like I said, not only do they take out the other teams to battle for the Commissioner Cup final, they did that. Then from there, led attendance all year long, had the best records. Like I said, I mean, these two are just models for what the FHL should be in the future. All right, I think that is going to be it for me. I want to say thank you to everyone who has tuned in to the Ice on Fire podcast all year long. I do appreciate everyone, especially Jonathan Clement. You came on, spoke with me early on, and I know you've listened. I appreciate that. Like I said, I enjoyed getting to meet you when you came into town. Thank you, Zach DeBozart. You came on the other week and, like I said, talked a little bit of expansion with me. Like I said, and you've helped me a lot throughout the season. Everyone, like I said, who's listened and, you know, for even a second, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. But thank you all for that. And like I said, if you feel like listening to me more, you can. I have a National Arena League podcast called the NAL Now. I just started that up 2 weeks ago for the season, like I said. So if you're interested in that, if you're in the locations of Jacksonville, Florida, or Columbus, Georgia, Worcester, Massachusetts, Greensboro, the New York area, like I said, there's all teams based out of there. You can definitely check that out if you feel like it. Like I said, I do appreciate everything that you guys have done, tuning in and listening and giving me a platform. So with that, until next year, I think it's time to retire the Ice on Fire. So thank you and good night.